that several times. Cold baptism water. But it doesn't matter, you do them anyway. Because when someone wants to be baptized, you take care of business. Amen? That's what you're supposed to do. Came a time when it was so cold, I was trying to read the Word. I just had to put the Bible down. I couldn't even talk. It was so cold. And he got his today. It's all good. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. It is good to be allowed to be in the house of the Lord today. It is an honor to be in the house of the Lord today. You chose to take a hold of God's blessing to those who receive Him, to be a part of a worship service and a celebration. This is a celebration time. This is a celebration time. Right now, I just would say that the pain and the suffering of Christ on the cross is over with. The betrayal and the crucifixion is done. That part is over. The burial has taken place, but no grave can hold Jesus. Jesus conquers death. The Scripture says, where death is your victory, where death is your sting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness, am I in the Baptist church? Now listen, I got to tell you folks, I've been in our black churches all week. All you got to do is stand up and they're like, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, I got breath. Praise God, I have a car. And they just praised everything. They were praising God for everything. Whew. Man, we got to get excited about what God is doing. We got to get excited. I know the world out there is a mess, but God has got a great and awesome plan for the future and a world for awesomeness. Yes. And I'm going to be a part of that because I'm a part of the plan. I've received the plan. I've come up to accept the plan. That is the plan of salvation. Access to God is no other through than Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven without God. You can't get to God without Jesus Christ. Can't get to Him unless you confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart and you confess in your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'll be saved. But boy, do we put a lot of stuff in front of it, don't we? We put a lot of stuff in front of it. Well, I don't know if he's... I just don't know. Well, if you don't know, then you just don't know. But you dig deep in your heart, you do know. You do know. You're free. We refuse to bow down to the Lord. We're going to share today in the resurrection piece in Matthew chapter 28. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. And I want to tell you, this is an exciting piece. There's going to be some pieces in here. I think that some of you say, I didn't know that. Well, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Matthew chapter 28 is the resurrection morning. Verse 1, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was drawing, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because of an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. Verse 4, the guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, don't be afraid because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, greetings. They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. Wow, that's a great piece for us to understand what happened at the resurrection. But I want to share with you that there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one of them says it a little bit different, but I want to remind you that it is like being on the football field. You have a different seat. You're watching the same game. You just get a different view. But what we see here in Matthew, we see Mary Magdalene and the mother, and we see the other Mary. But I want to tell you that in the book of Mark, there's three women. And Luke, there's at least five. And John, there's one. You see, sometimes when I go to someone's house or something, someone will ask, hey, who came over? Someone might say, well, on my side of the family, they'll say Jimmy came over. Carla came with me, but they won't say Jimmy. They'll just say Jimmy came over. I go to her family on something, and they'll say, hey, how's Carla? Carla's doing great. Why? Because that's her family, and I may not even be mentioned. And that's the way it is in the gospel. Sometimes they'll point to who is, to them, is the most important at that moment. And for Matthew, he saw a key person, Mary Magdalene, and the other Mary. But you'll see the others speak into some other individuals as well. Read your Bible. Read your Bible to know the whole story. And then we see in verse 2 and 3 that there was a violent earthquake. This is not the same earthquake it was when Jesus, when the ground began to shake and the rocks began to split when Jesus was crucified. This is a second earthquake. People believe there's only one, but there were two. One in the beginning of it, one at the crucifixion, and one at the resurrection. We see angel comes down. What we see here, and we believe that, many people believe that Jesus rolled the stone away, but it wasn't Jesus, it was the angel. How do we know that? I need to tell you again, because some of your minds are thinking, oh, it was Jesus. What's it say? An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone. Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't need to open the door to walk in. He is resurrected. He can walk through walls. Oh, my goodness. Jesus can walk through walls. We see in the book of John, he does it twice. He's already there in a closed house that's locked up. He just appears. He just appears amongst the disciples two times. No stone is going to keep Jesus from walking and out of the tomb. Let's get back past some of those stories that they say. Let's go to the Bible and read that the angel came, the earthquake came, and rolled the stone away. What the power of heaven is, and amazing of what is happening there. But we also see the guards were there as well, and they were overcome with fear, and they became like dead men. That's what happens when people that are lost get in front of things that are of God. When God moves and lost people see it, it floods over them. They cannot handle that. They can't handle it. The guards are overcome with fear. But he says, do not be afraid. Don't fear as the Lord. Don't fear as we can just say as the world fears. We are not to fear that way. We are not. But I want to remind you that we have these Gospels, and Luke says it this way. He says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? They asked Jesus a question once, and he said, you have been, they asked him about some things about somebody, a guy being married. Anyway, this woman being married like seven different times because all these men and husbands have died. And Jesus says, you have been gravely mistaken. There's no marriage, and there's no marriage in the resurrection. And God is not the God of the dead, but He is the God of the living. He is not the God of the dead. Jesus is the God of the living. Let me tell you, folks, if you have Jesus Christ in you, you are alive. You are a special person. Very special person. We'll get to that. And then we see this part here with the women. They have this moment where they see Jesus. And Jesus gives them the same instructions. Go to the disciples. And he does that because he has that love and compassion for people. Isn't it amazing that Jesus shows himself first to the first people he shows himself is to the women? But he says to the disciples, you need to go to Galilee. Tell them to go to Galilee. I'll meet them there. Wow. The resurrection is the most powerful thing that ever happened on this earth. Death cannot hold Jesus Christ. Death cannot hold the Son of God. And with salvation in Jesus Christ, death will not hold you. Oh, your body will fall apart. If you're like me, it's already falling apart. Amen. Knees are all shot. Back don't work right. You get tired, more tired now than you used to. Sleep comes. A full night's sleep is a blessing. The body is falling apart. But the inside is being renewed every day. It's being renewed every day because what is inside of you is living. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. The power of Jesus and His resurrection offers us so much in life. But yet we want to cling to the things that the world has to offer. Yes, we live in the world and we are a part of the world. We can have enjoyment in the world and the way God wants us to. We can do those things, have a peace in the world. But we also need to remember that this is but for a temporary time. And some of us have shorter years of life than others. But what does the resurrection, what does Jesus give us in a resurrection? Number one, He gives us salvation. Salvation, which means you needed to be saved from something. Salvation. Whew. Salvation. A believer's baptism. It's only for the believer. Something on earth that's only for the believer. Being baptized. Being baptized. Following in the footsteps of Christ. Being baptized, as we heard. Buried in the likeness of His death. But raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing that we too will resurrect. Participate in communion. We get to participate in something that the world doesn't get to participate in. That's communion. And we're going to be doing that in a moment where we remember that the bread represents the body and the drink represents the blood that Christ shed. We also are a receiver of blessings. I would rather have God's blessings than the world's blessings any day. Any day of the week. Any day of my life. As the old hymn song says, count your blessings. Name them what? Where am I open? Yeah, there we go. Name them one by one so that we can remember what God has done. Huh. Also, the resurrection of my salvation, your salvation, you've also become part of the family of God. You are now part of the family of God. And look in the mirror. Look at your last name. Look at your family. A lot of our families have got all, in fact, all of our families have messed up things. Come on now, there might be more junk over here. There might be more maybe alcohol problems over here. More lustful problems over there. This family might have more other problems over here. There might be hatred. There could be racism. There could be that. But listen, every family is tainted with sin. Every family's got problems with sin. But when you come into the family of God, you come through Christ, you become engrafted, you become adopted into the family of Jesus Christ, and you are family, and I'm telling you, the Father knows how to take care of His children. You're part of the family of God. Your name is also written, the Scripture says, in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are in trouble, and you will stand in the great white judge throne in front of Jesus Christ, and you will be found guilty. But if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are free. You are free because of what Jesus did on the cross, and you received it and took it upon yourself to say, I believe. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow, what a book that is. My daddy's written in that book. Andrew's written in that book. My grandma's written in that book. All kinds of people I know are written in that book. And feel good that you're part of it if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Basically, that means the book of Jesus. The Jesus book. And Jesus is all about coming here and saving those that are lost. And we are all lost. But He doesn't stop there at the resurrection because of that and your salvation. He gives you at least one spiritual gift to serve Him and serve Him with all your ability. But your abilities are not good enough. But He gives you a spiritual gift to do the extra. That He can say, I did that. And we say, I only can do that through Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spiritual gift that He has given to me. And I will serve Him all the days until the ends of my life upon this earth. And then he says, and we say this, you are a very special person upon receiving salvation. God knows you now. He knows all, but he knows you. There's a difference when you know someone, and the scriptures say, it would say you knew someone, but it also would say in scripture that he knew her, which means an intimate way. Here it is that now God knows you because you're part of his family, but Jesus knows you because you called upon Jesus to save you. Heaven knows you. They know you. Angels know you. They're doing the business to minister to those who have been saved. So angels know you. Satan knows you now. And the demons know you. You are special. The spiritual world and the beings of that world know you. And they know you because they know the name of Jesus Christ. And Christ is in you. And that's why they know you. You are a very special person. But not only that, you get to worship. You get to worship and you get to go to church and you can go to an altar. Now, you can make an altar in the woods. I've done that. Made an altar in my car. I made an altar in other places. But there's just something about an altar in a church where you get down up on your knees. It don't matter if people are looking or not, because you know the altar is a place where people have shed their tears, where people have come to come to Christ for salvation, where people have come to recommit their lives to Christ, where they confess their sins. The altar is a messy place, but it is also a blessed place. It's a place where people get their lives right with God. And we have that ability today to come to know that we come as the first time we come to an altar to come to Christ. But after that, we come to our Savior and our King, knowing who He is. We come to an altar to pray about things, and we come to Him, to an old-fashioned altar, because we need to meet Him there. But we also have access to God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit through what? We use the word prayer. We can intercede and we can pray. We can begin to pray. And Scripture says that if your life is right with God and you're a righteous person, James says, your prayers availeth much. That means your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are powerful when you're walking in the Lord, in the ways of the Lord. But if they're not, your prayers are weak. So we need to keep working on that. Those prayers become powerful. Listen, when lost people come and ask you, they tell you to pray for something. Take it to Christ. Take it to God, because God hears the prayers of His people. And you're praying for lost people. That is good. You're praying for something in their lives. That is good, that they may see the works of Christ that works in their life because you prayed for them. You don't take the glory for it. You stand in the middle and you pray and you advocate, and your heart bleeds for those who are lost and are separated from Christ. We have access to God through Jesus. And we can pray. What a blessing that God hears us. We're not like Bruce Wayne, who has a phone, and the mayor, forgot his name, some of you know. And it's a red phone, and when you need to call Bruce Wayne and find Batman, you pick up the bat phone. But if you're not in the office, you can't use the phone. And it's amazing that we can call upon Jesus anywhere and wherever we are. Any time of the hour, any time of the night, for the day, we can call upon Jesus and talk to Him. Amen for prayer. Amen. We will be part of the resurrection. And the Bible says that we won't be angels, but we'll be like angels. Wow, that's amazing. We'll be transformed. Matthew chapter 22:30 says, For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor they are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Awesome. Awesome. As soon as I'm telling you folks, as soon as we breathe our last here, nobody that knows Christ would want to come back. We know there is a scripture, we know there's a story about a rich man that went to hell. He wanted to come back. But we don't read anybody wants to come back from heaven. We don't read that. Now they're sent back, Jesus doing certain things, Moses and Elijah, as we learned today. But listen, nobody wants to come back. I mean, you're transformed. You're transformed. But we'll be like the angels. But also with this resurrection, you will live forever and be with Jesus eternally with God. There will be no more not seeing Him, but we will see Him. Amen to that. We'll be known as we're known, and He'll be known as, and we'll be part, because we're family. We are family. Why all this? Why have all this? To be with Jesus. The hope. That's what the resurrection does. It gives hope to man. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. All that Jesus went through, all that he went through, do you think God's going to give another way? Do you think he's going to say, well, I'll give you, you're special, I'll give you a different way. I'll give you a different way because you're special. No, you're already special enough. And the door is open, and it was a very high cost. The door is, come in. Let Jesus in. That's the only way. That is the only way. So how do you receive salvation? How does a person receive salvation? I love what Scripture does. It tells us exactly the answer to the question. I would rather hear Scripture on answers than a person. And Scripture tells us this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, that's what you do, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with his heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with his mouth, resulting in salvation. Wow! What? If you believe in your heart, he said that results in righteousness. We've read that so many times and not people, and we don't catch it. But it also says when you confess with your mouth, results in salvation. Wow! We didn't have to go to a cross. We didn't have to go through all that stuff because Jesus did it for us. We couldn't have done it anyway because we're sinful. We are sinful. So we stand at a crossroads. For some. Those that don't know Christ stands at a crossroads. So what happens if you don't have Jesus and you refuse and you reject Jesus or you just don't do anything? And believe me, don't doing anything is the same thing as rejecting Jesus. You don't have to say no. Your actions can show it. And just walk away. But what is it? What is it? I can tell you what it means. One, you're going to go through life alone. Now listen, some people have a lot of friends. Let me tell you, as a believer, you're never alone. When the party's over, everybody goes home, you're alone. Everybody's at work, everybody does their thing, they're together, and they leave alone. But when you have Christ, you're never alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. But for the lost person, they live life alone without Christ, without salvation. They're also separated from God and Jesus forever unless they receive salvation. When you die, the person that rejects Christ, when they die, they take their sins with them. They're theirs. They're not forgiven. Listen, they're not forgiven. They're not forgiven. Sin makes us guilty. It makes us guilty. Basically, a person who hasn't received Christ has wasted their life and lived for themselves, maybe accomplished a lot of things in the world, but in the end, it amounts to nothing. And whatever they have, the family will take it all, fight over it, and the next generation will do the same, unless it is intervened with salvation through Jesus Christ. They did everything in life and may have done great things, but they never allowed God to be a part of it. And if you don't let God be a part of your life, he will not let you be a part of his life. Joshua 24 tells us this at the end of Joshua's life. He's coming, he's done conquered the lands that God has told him to for all the people, and he's come to a place where he is finished with it. He is much older now, and he says this, and if it seems evil, he has the people before him and his leaders, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the lands that ye dwell. But as for me and my house, come on now, we shall serve the Lord. I want to tell you today, there is nothing like Easter. It is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the representation that those who come to Christ will also have a resurrection. Because ain't no death, ain't no grave going to hold that believer down. Because the power of Jesus Christ is all it takes, is the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus even told his disciples, "Now I want you to, when you pray, I want you to speak and ask in my name." When we get saved, we ask in Jesus' name. When we go and we pray and we're in tough situations, we'll pray about it and we'll say, in Jesus' name. Then there's times we even get more desperate. We say, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, come to the place where I am. Jesus, can you fix this? Jesus, can you help my marriage? Jesus, can you help my kids? Jesus, can you help us with our finances? Jesus." And you know what? I'm telling you what? It's all right. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way that it's supposed to be when you become a believer, to call upon the name of the Lord in all your situations. "Jesus, thank you so much. You answered that prayer. Jesus, thank you so much. I know I lost a loved one, my heart." We see that scripture there where the ladies ran off. It says they ran off in fear, but also with joy. Only believers can have fear and joy at the same time. Because no matter what we're fearing, we know there's a joy in the Lord that can help us and gives us peace, that gives us all, even when we don't understand it, it gives us power to work through it. His name is Jesus. That's who we're worshiping today. That's who we're talking about today. You ever just get alone and just say, "Jesus. Jesus, I love you so much. You're just so awesome in my life. And you're doing, man, I remember when you were here on this moment and fixed me through that moment." And it could be the next week you're at the same, you're just driving down the road and you're like, "Jesus, I'm going home and my whole family's a mess. And I just need you to breathe on my house. I just need you to put some angels and around my home. It's, things are coming in that shouldn't be coming in, and things are being said that shouldn't be said. And we're broken. We look fine, but we're broken. And Jesus, just help us. Jesus, breathe on me." Driving down the road, there's so many times I might be turning on the radio, listening to maybe a gospel music, and I say gospel, it may be contemporary, but in my vehicle, it may be something gospel. It doesn't matter. But then I look over sometimes, and there's nobody there in my passenger seat, but I know there is. And I'm crazy enough to say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Does it make me crazy? To the world, that man's nuts. To the Lord, it's, we know each other. And what amazes me is he puts up with this relationship because he's all perfect and I'm all messed up. But he knows it. He knows it. And then we get to those places when we begin to pray, "Lord, fix them. Fix them. Fix my son. Fix my daughter. Fix my grandkids. Fix my wife. Fix my husband. Fix them." So many times I've been in that place and the Lord, Holy Spirit just comes upon and you just feel His presence and He says, "I got them covered. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about you. Nobody's more interested in you and your life than Jesus Christ. Nobody's more interested in you than winning and walking across that finish line. Well done, good and faithful servant. Nobody's more interested in you being able to accomplish that than Jesus Himself. He is the author." Oh my gosh. I want you to get the understanding that Jesus is not 10,000 miles away to or some other stratosphere. He's right here. And the
questions. What are you going to do with him? If you've not been living right, I'm telling you, you're going to feel miserable in here until you get right with God. If you don't have Christ, I'm telling you, the only way is to get right with God. And God will say, you want to get right with me? You get right with my son, Jesus. Because people say God all the time. But people have a hard time saying Jesus. Because when Jesus is mentioned, it's mentioned, it has a conviction. It's right. It's a power with righteousness. And it just cuts right down the middle. People don't, even Christians, don't even want to say Jesus in public. But the believer, we should be singing Jesus every day. Father, I know that you desire every person to come to you. But your scripture says that you love the world. That you gave your only son to get to you. We have to go through Jesus. It's the only way. And even for believers, to get our lives right, we still have to keep coming back to Jesus. I pray today, Lord, that we, as a group here today, will get right with you and get right with Jesus. Whatever that may be, may your will be done. In Christ's name, who is Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.